Please take your Bibles, turning with me to 1 Kings chapter 7. As we embark on a new year, I have been considering what should I be preaching on. And as on Faith to Live By, and I apologize if some of you think, well, I've heard that already. I want to share with you portraits of God's grace. Another way I could call this is Pastor Jim's favorite sermons. I'm pulling out of the files some sermons which not only have I enjoyed preaching, and sermons which I believe have done much good, but I think that almost all of them are sermons which highlight the grace of God to people absolutely undeserving, and how that we see ourselves in the midst of the account. Not all of them are flattering, but all of them certainly do us much good for hearing them again. I first of all take you to 2 Kings chapter 7 for an account of four desperate men. Chapter 7, I read, "Then Elisha said, 'Listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria.' The royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, 'Behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be?' Then he said, 'Behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it.' Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, 'Why do we sit here until we die? If we say, we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we will die there. If we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us go over to the camp of the Arameans. If they spare us, we will live. And if they kill us, we will but die.' They arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans. When they came to the outskirts of the camp of the Arameans, behold, there was no one there, for the Lord had caused the army of the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and a sound of horses, even the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, 'Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the king of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.' Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp just as it was, and fled for their life. When these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they entered one tent and ate and drank and carried from there silver and gold and clothes and went and hid them. And they returned and entered another tent and carried from there also and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, 'We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household.' So they came and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, 'We came to the camp of the Arameans, and behold, there was no one there, nor the voice of man, only the horses tied and the donkeys tied, and the tents just as they were.' The gatekeepers called and told it within the king's household. Then the king arose in the night and said to his servants, 'I will tell you now what the Arameans have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore they have gone from the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, "When they come out of the city, we will capture them alive and get into the city." One of his servants said, 'Please, let some men take five of the horses which remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they will be in any case like all the multitude of Israel who are left in it. Behold, they will be in any case like all the multitude of Israel who have already perished. So let us send and see.' They took therefore two chariots with horses And the king sent after the army of the Arameans, saying, "Go and see." They went after them to the Jordan, and behold, all the way was full of clothes and equipment which the Arameans had thrown away in their haste. Then the messengers returned and told the king. So the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. Then a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king appointed the royal officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. But the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. It happened just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, and 1 measure of fine flour for a shekel will be sold tomorrow about this time at the gate of Samaria. Then the royal officer answered the man of God and said, "Now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could such a thing be?" And he said, "Behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it." So it happened to him, for the people trampled on him at the gate, and he died. Here we are in the midst of the divided kingdom of the Jews. We have had the kings of Saul, David, and Solomon, and then there is the northern and the southern kingdom. This kingdom in the north was situated with its center in Samaria, and here is where the setting is for this action. But it's a desperate situation. Elijah the prophet has been God's man in the midst of this, but the people are utterly wicked, and God has his hand heavy upon them, bringing in the Arameans to lay siege to Samaria. The situation we read in 2 Kings chapter 6 is such that cannibalism is openly practiced in the city. Women eating their own children and zealous for every mouthful. The king himself wears sackcloth. It is indeed a desperate situation. Prices are skyrocketing for any bit of food that could be obtained, and the end is most certainly near at hand. But God's kindness to this kingdom, which has shunned him, which has shirked him, which has shut him out time and time again, all of the kings in the north were men who did not seek the favor of the Lord, who cared nothing for him. And so this is the climate in which all of this is set. Desperate, desperate, very desperate times. But there is a promise of turn. There is a promise of change. And one man, one official says, "If the Lord was to open the windows of heaven, even then I could not imagine such things taking place." That man was not to participate in the blessings that God would bring about. Now we go from the king's court and from the king's presence, we go now to the gate of the city. And whereas we have much regal display in the king's presence, here with these 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, there is no pomp or circumstance. It is indeed utterly desperate. As little food as there was in the king's presence, here we have much, much less. And we have, interesting, a conversation that is taking place among these 4 as they sit there. Who knows how long it had been since they had a mouthful of food or even a drink of clean water. But they know the situation. They know it well. They know the end is sight. And from their vantage point, undoubtedly with a good eye, they could see the Arameans pressing in. They could see the ring of power which circled Samaria and which was closing in like vice-tight fingers round their throats. But hear what these lepers have to say. Now understand that in their world, they would have constantly had to cry out, unclean, 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 everywhere they went. In society, in their family, in every sphere, they were shut out. So for them to be sitting in the gate of the city just pictures how that they are on the outside looking in. That was not just for this situation, but that was how their whole world went. But they say to one another, why are we going to sit here until we die? I'm sure another one said, well, if you've got such great ideas, why don't you share it with the rest of us? They say, if we enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we will die there. I'm sure a sarcastic friend would have said, duh, of course, that's obvious to anyone with half a brain in their head. You better come up with something a whole lot better than that. And they also say, if we sit here, we die also. Well, of course, naturally. There's no one bringing us food. There's no one with any charity coming and offering us a morsel or any drink. So, of course, we are going to die if we just sit on our rear parts here. They say, now let us go over to the camp of the Arameans. I'm sure that at least one eye got wide with surprise at such a suggestion, but then there comes the explanation. If they spare us, we will live. Maybe there is some charity, maybe there is some generous spirit, maybe there is someone who would show kindness to the likes even of us. If they kill us, we will only die. But there is the slightest chance, the most remote opportunity. There is nothing here. There is nothing for us in the city. There is nothing for us if we stay sitting exactly where we are. Maybe, maybe, maybe there is opportunity. And so they rise at twilight and they go to the Aramean camp. And shock of all shock, they find that there is no one there. And the explanation is given in verse 6, how that the Lord, of his own kindness, in fulfillment of his word, he had caused a sound to be heard by the Arameans, so that in absolute terror and in absolute panic, they beat it away, throwing off things that they formerly thought were so very important, fleeing for their very lives. Verse 8, these lepers, think of them, hungry men. They were ravenous. We don't know how long it had been since they had even a bite, never mind a decent meal. And verse 8 tells us that these four lepers, they come and they go into one tent and they find food, they find drink, and they find silver, they find gold. They had never seen so much stuff. And they take from there, they eat and they drink. They take the silver and the gold, they take the clothes, and they go and hide them. And then they come back again. And they do the same thing. But once again, we are brought into a conversation that's going on here. And verse 9, we hear them talking among each other and they say, look, there's something wrong with this picture. We are not doing what is right. This is good news and we can't take it all to ourselves. We need to share this with others. If we keep silent until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Let's go and tell the king's household. Well, the king was asleep, or at least trying to sleep. And they come and they shout to the gatekeepers. Of course, every night the gate was shut and a watch was set. And the watch comes and he hears these men beckoning and wailing at the gate. What do you want? They say, the camp of the Arameans. There's no one there. There's nothing but goods such as we have taken ourselves. Gatekeeper goes into the king, wakes the king up. The king, he's suspicious of what's going on here. He's saying, those Arameans, they're shifty, they're tricky. They know how desperately hungry we are. They know what the situation is like. They are trying to draw us out. They're trying to get us to open the gates that they might flood in and overwhelm us, weak as our warriors are. One of the servants, a man about at the end of his tether, he says, Lord, please, please, we're as good as dead here. If we send a scouting party to find out what is going on, if they are taken, as you suppose, as you surmise, so what? At least we will have checked it out. At least we will have investigated what is going on, if there is the possibility of us living. So they go, and they find it exactly the way the lepers had spoken. The scouting party, they check it out, and there on that road, heading away from the camp, is all kinds of stuff that the Arameans couldn't get rid of fast enough in their absolute panic and terror to throw off anything that would slow them down and that might cost them their lives. All of a sudden, those prices that had been skyrocketing plummeted. And the people pour out of the city into the camp to find those provisions and to find what would preserve their life and meet their desperate, desperate need. And that royal official who stood in the gate and he said, stop! The people mowed him down and passed him by, and he died, seeing people enter into the goodness of God when he would have said, don't do it. Now, how does this apply to us? When I was in Russia, I remember preaching from this chapter, and when I've been to the Union Gospel Mission and when I've stood in other situations, I've also turned to this passage. And I'm always so very hesitant because here's the rub. Lepers were the low of the low. Lepers were the ones who had to call out unclean time and time again so that no one would come near them and become ceremonially unclean. They had nasty sores on their arms and hands and places where you just couldn't cover it up, maybe face and feet showing through their sandals. The point is that each and every one of us are lepers. That's offensive. And in a context such as India, I always hesitate to take this where there is still leprosy and people don't want to be called a leper. But that's exactly the way God looks at on us. We are just like those lepers sitting at the gate. But every once in a while, the Lord stirs in the heart, like he did with that prodigal son who said, you know, in my father's house, there's all kinds of food, and here I am eating what the pigs eat. I will get up and I will go. He came to himself, it says. Well, these lepers, they came to themselves and they realized that there was some hope. For every spiritual leper in this world who the Lord stirs within their heart, there is this hope. But you see that those things that we have leaned upon before, those things which have helped us before, either our own ability or the ability of those around us, our acquaintances, our city, our village, they are absolutely undone as well. They are without ability to help us. You see, we need to cross over. We need to go where we've never gone before to find the help that we need, to find the provision that God has made for us. Now, it was absolutely ridiculous that these lepers, who were shunned in their own community, that they would find any kindness among the Arameans. What was their life worth? What could they do for the Arameans? They would just potentially be thrown out there as well. You see, when we come to ourselves and we realize there's nothing here for me, there's nothing that I can do for myself, and there's nothing that no one else can do, the devil would say, don't think about crossing over. God is your enemy. Just like these lepers, they looked out there and they said, those Arameans, they're our enemy. They want to hurt us. But you see, God, the devil would say, is your enemy. He wants to hurt you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to have his hands around your throat. He wants to throttle you. But you see, these Arameans, or these lepers, they crossed over. They said, we believe that maybe there's grace. Maybe there's an offer of life for us. And they did. And they found that God had made a way. Is there anyone here today who would want to cross over? You would want to cross over from where you are, where you've lived, where you've sat, and you would want to cross over to who the devil calls your enemy. The one who the devil would say he wants to hurt you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to annihilate you. And in clearer moments, you might say, yeah, what do I have to offer to the Lord? Those lepers didn't have anything. They didn't have provisions or food or even good health or strength. Same with you, same with me. When we come before the Lord, we don't have anything. Like, I mean nothing, nothing, nothing to offer to him. We're just like these lepers. We are defiled. We are unclean. And we come before the Lord and we say, what can I bring before you? What can I offer to you? And the Lord looks at us and he says, nothing, nothing, nothing can you bring. Nothing can you offer to me who has truly everything. It is only because of the grace of God, it is only because of his kindness which he shows to us that we are acceptable at all. Would you cross over? Would you cross over today? But there's that second part of the story. This account is not only good reading for those who have never come before the Lord and said, Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, make me your own child. It's good for every child of God who has walked with him, who has entered into the goodness of God, who has known his forgiveness and his cleansing and his provision. Because here, these lepers, once again, in a moment of clarity, in a moment of crystal clear understanding, as they're carting away these loads of things, more than they had ever dreamed of. They say to each other, look, there's something desperately wrong with this picture. We are not doing right. This day is not just a day of good news for us alone. It's a day of good news for all who are in Samaria, all who are hungry and thirsty, all who could enter into this provision. And so they go and they share the good news with others. It was disbelieved. But then see how eagerly the people race out to enter in. Oh, friend, would you at the outset of this year either cross over to him who is able to provide for you cleansing, forgiveness, provide for you in every way, or at the outset of this year, would you just come before the Lord and say, Lord, there have been things that are out of sort with me in my life. I haven't been doing what is right. I've been keeping good news all to myself, and it needs to be shared. It needs to be proclaimed. It needs to be trumpeted that others might also enter in. People who are dying, people who are starving for one crumb of what I know and what I enjoy. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? And Sherry and Ruth, would you please come? At the outset of this year, I want this to be a very significant stepping stone in the life of our church. For 6 years, we have sounded forth the gospel of God. We have sought to be as clear as we possibly can be. And as we continue to move forward, we want the Bible to be center not only in our name, but in all that we do. And we want people, whoever they are, that come here to know that God's grace reaches out to them. But sometimes there needs to be an insult before the good news. There needs to be the realization of the depth of the need. Perhaps there is a man, a woman, who has heard this message today, and you understand for the first time the depth of your need. No one has ever called you a leper before. No one has ever called you unclean. But in a moment of clarity, the Lord turning on the lights, you suddenly realize that's what you are. That's what you are. Unclean. And you need God's cleansing. I would say to you, my dear friend, that in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is cleansing. There is the remedy for your need. Will you cross over? Will you come? And will you bow before the one who the devil says, don't do it, he's your enemy? Will you come before the Lord and say, Lord, I've lived as a rebel. I've lived my own life. I've fought, I've kicked, I've done everything to do my own, to go my own way. I am surrendering to you. That's what these lepers were doing. They were surrendering. They were surrendering. Will you do that? Lord, I pray that there would be men and women right now who would say, Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. I surrender fully and completely into your hands, my life, my all. I bring nothing. I simply trust in your kindness, in your grace, and in your mercy. Lord, receive me, vile, unclean, full of sores. I bring nothing, but receive me. Lord, I pray that there would be men and women here right now who would say, I want that. I'm taking that step. Lord, may heaven rejoice, and may our hearts also rejoice in new life in Jesus' name. So, Lord, work among us and for all of us, dear God, people all round about us, feeding on the husks of this world, haven't had a decent spiritual meal in who knows how long, thirsty, needy. Oh God, the gospel which we hold in our hands, the word which we delight in, so Lord, may it go forth with power through this coming year, and may your name be praised and honored and glorified, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.